Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28. And St. Paul is here addressing the pastors or elders in the city of Ephesus. Before he departs, he's been teaching them, if you will, a seminary training for 3 years. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Apologize for my computer in the pulpit today. I've been having computer problems. So, many years ago, when I was a very young pastor, a couple joined our church who had never really known the gospel before, and they were getting married, and they went through adult confirmation, adult instruction classes, and became confirmed members of the congregation, and we're very excited to learn the gospel. Quite often you'll find that people who come to faith as adults, they kind of have a different enthusiasm about wanting to make sure other people learn about this too, because it's so exciting for them. And anyway, in the course of events, they decided that they wanted other people to know about this, so they talked to people at their workplace, and they said to them, "We would like to establish a little Bible study at our house over the lunch hour once a week." And so they started inviting people, and they had about 10 or 12 people that would come to this, and they were so excited to tell me about this, and they wanted me to come and visit and to see what their little group was like. It had been going now for a couple months, and they kept pestering me in a nice way. "You should come. You really should come and see this." So I did. I finally went to their house over lunch one week and sat through their Bible study. I thought I'm going to kind of stay in the background and just listen and so on. And what's interesting, this often happens in little Bible study groups. There was one gentleman who was from their workplace who seemed to know a little bit more about Scripture and had a very dominating, kind of charismatic personality. And it started to take over the group. You could just sense this. And was kind of thought of like everybody and looked to by everybody as the leader. And I just kept little notes to myself. And throughout the Bible study, 7 different times, he espoused false doctrine. He started sprinkling false doctrine into the Bible study. And I felt bad because I thought I'd have to correct this. But at the same time, I don't want to land on this guy and so on. So at the end of the Bible study, I gently had everybody go back and look at passages that would counter the very 7 false doctrines that he had brought up in the Bible study. And after the Bible study was done, I met with the couple, and I said, "This is wonderful that you want to do this." But I said, "You know, there's a reason why Jesus has established the office of the public ministry. There's a reason why Jesus has asked that certain people be trained, especially in doctrine and in practice, in order to lead people in their faith." And I said, "This man, he's a professed Christian. I'm not saying he's not a Christian, but somebody has taught him incorrectly on some things, and that's starting to come into your Bible study group." And they were kind of shocked by this and surprised. Pastors love it when their members want to go study the Bible and do it together. Students often talk to me about things they'll do in their dorm rooms together and so on. And we love that. Obviously, we want everybody to study God's Word. At the same time, why has Jesus established the office of oversight when it comes to caring for people's souls and for what should be taught to them and how we should understand things? Our Heavenly Father lays a very unique burden of responsibility on those who have been selected to care for the spiritual lives, the sheep, if you will, in our Savior's flock. Notice the extreme value that we see that you and I have, just as people, members of Christ's flock, Notice the value God places on us. He says he has purchased us with his own blood. Think what that means, that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, purchased you, bought you to come to heaven with his own blood. That's an amazing thing. Brings us right to the cross. And God is here reminding us of just how valuable and important you, your soul, your body, your future, your life, all of that is to this gracious God, that he has purchased you with his own blood. There's no greater commitment to your personal welfare than you will find in the cross of Christ, who is your Savior. And so because of that, because of protecting that and wanting to make sure that we really ultimately get to benefit from that, God has also established a very strange, Dr. Walther called it, a peculiar office, and that is the office of the public ministry. It's an office that the world laughs at, that the world despises. Have you ever noticed in comedy shows and movies and things how the ministry is often depicted in kind of a joke? That's kind of how the world looks at it. That's certainly not the way our gracious God looks at it. He sees this office as one of having great importance. When I first started studying to be a pastor, we had a class in pastoral ministry, how to take care of sheep. And I remember our professor, Bill Peterson, the first day of class had us open up our books, and I wrote down 6 questions that he asked us about becoming pastors. These are the questions. I'm just going to read them to you. Number 1, do you like people? And he said, if you don't like people, you probably shouldn't be a pastor, right? Okay. Number 2, do you consider yourself above the lay people? Better not. Number 3, are you willing to be imposed upon? That was an interesting one. Number 4, have you trained yourself to listen to others? Number 5, can you not only forgive but forget? And number 6, are you entering the ministry to serve? Or is it about you? I remember one of our senior pastors in our church body once said this to me. God created the office of the public ministry because he wanted to be sure there was at least one person who would lay awake at night concerned about your soul. And I'll tell you, there have been times as a pastor when that's the case, when somebody's particular situation is really weighing heavy on your soul and you're trying to care for them. Now notice that in the text before us, the problems, the potential problems with this office are internal problems inside of the church. He gives warnings. Paul is giving warnings to these shepherds that the trouble is going to potentially come from inside the church. In fact, possibly one of them themselves. And we see that to be so true through the history of the church. The primary source for trouble among the flock of Christ is going to come from inside the church. Rarely does the real threat to Christianity come from Hinduism or Buddhism or even atheism. Not that those don't have their own challenges, but the real threat often comes from inside the church, somebody perverting the form of Christianity in a way that ultimately will take people's faith away. And that's exactly what Paul says in our text about perverting this truth. He says to them, therefore take heed, that means be careful, to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And here's why. Savage wolves, he says, will come in among you. From among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things. Possibly some of the very pastors he's talking to are going to start deviating from the truth of God's saving word. You know, it's very rare that false doctrine gets created by the laity. Sometimes it can be promoted and passed on that way, but it's rare that a false doctrine, a heresy, gets created by lay people. It usually comes from those who are in the ranks of the clergy. A study of church history will demonstrate that. The injection of false doctrine into a church body, especially in an American context, has often come through colleges and seminaries. That's often where the false teaching begins and starts to erode the beliefs based upon Scripture. So there's a great message here to the theologians on our campus as well. He says, take heed to yourselves. Be careful about even yourself. An old Norwegian pastor at the University of Oslo back in the 1800s, Bishop Locke, once said this, where the heart of the local shepherd is not with the good shepherd, there the sheep will be poorly watched. And you future pastors, think of that too, okay? That where the heart of the local shepherd is not with the good shepherd, there the sheep will be poorly watched. How important it is for the pastors as well to maintain their own devotional life, staying with Christ. And I know that can be a challenge. But there's also a message here to the sheep who listen to them. We should be grateful that God has established this office. And I am a layperson in that sense as well at my local congregation. We should be grateful God has established this office because it's ultimately about our care. It's an essential office for the oversight of our faith. It's not to be dismissed or discarded or passed over. And those who faithfully hold this office and teach and confess God's word and administer his sacraments properly, they are to be honored and thought of as being in a very special position. Because God is working through them, even though they themselves are sinful, to bring us his wonderful grace that will ultimately take us to heaven. But at the same time, there's also a little warning in this for us as lay people, and that is that these men that hold this office are flawed people. They are just as sinful and wicked as you are. They have the same sins on their conscience and the same problems and the same doubts that they struggle with as you do as well. And they need a shepherd just as badly as you do. Thank God we have one in Christ. One of the reasons that this college has been established and is still being maintained by our church body is because we want to make sure that the sheep will recognize false doctrine if it ever comes to them through one of their shepherds. The doctrinal training that you receive in our religious studies classes and other classes is of such importance because the faith that we have been given by God that clings to Christ and puts our trust in him alone to get to heaven, it is so vitally important so that someday we can enjoy the beautiful home of heaven that God has blessed us with. When I was a little child, I had some wonderful, very faithful pastors. And someday when I get to heaven, even though my greatest expression of thanks is going to be to the triune God who has saved us and brought us there, I also plan to go up and thank those shepherds who cared for my soul in this life. May God give us an appreciation for this office, and may he preserve us in this blessed faith. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Let us join together in the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Oh, out and amen.
And now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.